My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there, and like, here are the people on the panel. So I'm like taking pot shots at Brian Brom because like that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you because I just
I feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm thinking I should have had a pickle before coming to work.
Well, what's this now?
I could go for a pickle right now. And
what an odd,
I have pickles at home.
What an odd thing to just think of and furthermore just say on the radio.
I mean, that's the second part of it is to what you're supposed to do.
A pickle?
Do you get a plate when you eat a pickle?
No. I love pickles. Who doesn't love pickles?
Okay.
Not unless it's accompanying a sandwich.
But you know, you take a bite out of a good pickle, there's going to be juice.
Yeah.
That drips on the floor.
Eat over the sink.
Really?
Who eats over a sink?
We've
got like a big butcher block thing that's on wheels in the center of our kitchen.
I don't want to have to go to the sink.
Eat over that and just then sponge up the if there is residue.
Armando,
not a big deal. I don't need a plate.
Armando Salguero, Outkick, old friend of ours, been on the show many times. How's life, Armando?
That's my introduction. Really? That's what you guys came up with?
Don't you want to weigh in?
I feel like a pickle is not an entree. Let's just... Can we agree to that?
No argument here. Yeah. No.
A napkin, then.
That is an item, Armando. That's an item you can just reach into the fridge, open the jar, and eat it as you're like. You know, I'm not walking into the living room with a pickle.
Well,
I don't think you're able to because you're going to eat it over the sink. Well, if I am, then maybe if I want to, maybe I'm going to have more than one pickle. Then maybe I'll get a plate.
Armando,
you really need to invest in cheese slices or ham slices, and I think you'd be better off protein. Protein.
There you go.
Oh, just wrap it even.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Good idea. He's on the job here.
Armando, so seriously, though, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
All is well.
New season. Here we go. Bills and Dolphins in week two tomorrow night in Miami or near Miami. Both teams kind of similar in week one, getting through it down in their games to Arizona, Jacksonville, respectively. Who was maybe more impressive if you think about the week one games or just kind of what we learned about either or both teams in the opener?
Well, I would say to you that one of the things that a lot of people that watch the NFL don't appreciate about good NFL teams is that they win or can win when it's not great, when it's not optimal, when it's ugly even, and they beat opponents that should be beaten. There are so many examples of teams that are either favored or expected to be good, and they go out and they lay an egg against an inferior opponent. They don't do, look at the Bengals. They lost to the Patriots, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the Bengals, who are expected to be this, like, you know, Super Bowl contender, do what the Bills and the Dolphins did, the narrative in Cincinnati is different, and talk shows in Cincinnati today were different.
Right. And they had chances to do that. It's not like New England ran away or anything like that, but just couldn't get enough done late in the game or all game, I guess. A lot of drama with the Bengals, too. T. Higgins and Chase. So missed opportunity there. I thought here, Armando, I mean, the Bills, one thing that was a theme around the NFL in week one is how sharply passing volume and production declined based on recent years. The lowest average passing yard total in a week one in more than 24 years, I believe I read. And here we are in this game. The Bills are down late in the first half. They'd thrown two passes by like less than 3 minutes to go in the half. They did turn that around. Is that something you think? Tua did not have this issue. I mean, he led the week in passing yards, but is it interesting to you how week one, you know, statistically and around the league seemed different in this way?
Yeah, I think that's a little skewed now too, because you have guys like, well, rookies really, like Jaden Daniels, who is going to run more often than he, you know, than the normal, experienced, smarter, veteran quarterback that doesn't want to get hit. So he rushed for 80 yards. He was running all over the place, and now the coaching staff is telling him, please, don't be doing that. Bo Nix is doing that. Caleb Williams is doing that to a degree. So you've got guys that, you know, use the running game, and you have teams that use the running game out of unorthodox positions, like the quarterback position, as a something of a crutch and something of a weapon in place of just outstanding passing. And I know that in Buffalo that doesn't apply because Josh Allen is an amazing quarterback, and I get it. And yet, what did he do? Oh, he scored two rushing touchdowns.
Right, and they became a pretty run-oriented team down the stretch last year under Joe Brady, and that certainly they had the most, I think, neutral situation rush attempts in week one, and we'll see. Like, could be matchup-specific how that gets handled moving forward here, Armando. I'm curious from you what kind of sense, if at all, you have of how this game is being viewed by the Dolphins, by Miami. We know Josh Allen and the Bills, it's 11 out of the last 12, and even you can go back farther than that too, but the Bills have kind of owned this matchup. And last year, three-game lead, five to go, the Bills caught him, beat them on the final day of the season, and win the division for a fourth year in a row. For Miami, this has to, I shouldn't say it has to. I'm asking you for you to fill us in on it, but the Bills seem like a pretty big object in the road if you're Miami. Recognizing that it's week two, is this a bigger than a normal week two game, you think, for Miami?
That's a super great question and a super interesting topic, because typically if this was a normal week, all of that would be true, all of it. But it's not a normal week for the Dolphins in that, number one, it's a Thursday night game, so less time to, you know, sort of get into that mode. And also, what happened before the game on Sunday with Tyreek Hill, where he was pulled over and, you know, dragged out of his car, wrestled to the ground, handcuffed, the whole nine in that regard, and teammates roll up and try to help him. They get handcuffed. So the narrative since Sunday afternoon when the Dolphins beat the Jaguars, and even during Sunday afternoon when the Dolphins beat the Jaguars and Tyreek Hill scored an 80-yard touchdown and then did the free Tyreek Hill celebration with his hands, you know, fake handcuffed behind his back, has been that episode, more so than the Bills own us, more so than the Bills have dominated the division for 4 years, more so than we better beat the Bills because, you know, if we want to go where we want to go, the Bills are in the way. The Tyreek thing has been the thing that has dominated practically everything outside of preparation for the Dolphins.
And if you would care to elaborate, I believe you wrote that you were impressed with how Hill has since described the situation and anything else he's had to say since Sunday.
Well, start with the fact that during that traffic stop, everybody was a mess. It was just a disaster from the jump. The cops pull over Tyreek Hill right outside Hard Rock Stadium. He rolls down the window, gives them his driver's license, rolls up the window.
Right.
The police officer taps on the window and says, "Roll down your window." And Tyreek does not. "Roll down your window." Tyreek does not. He's now on the phone with somebody. "Roll down your window." Tyreek does not. At this point, Tyreek is no longer asked to roll down his window. By the way, in Florida, you are obliged to basically do what a police officer asks you to do. And then if you there's an issue, civil rights issue, you figure that out later in court. But nonetheless, so they pull Tyreek Hill out of the car, drag him to the ground, and, you know, handcuff him, their knees in his back. They put him on the side of the curb. He's standing up. They tell him, sit down. He doesn't. They chokehold him down. Teammates going to the game see this. They roll up. They come out. And the cops tell them, you better leave or we're going to do the same kind of to you.
Mm-hmm.
The whole episode was, one, Tyreek, my brother, roll down your window, okay? This could help matters if you do that. If you comply, it can help. And then secondly, the police body cam footage is out, and the officer who did most of the work, let's call it, he is now on an administrative duties off the streets, and I assume that once the investigation...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The internal investigation is over, that he is either going to be suspended or fired. And so that was the whole episode. And mm-hmm. Today, Tyreek is like, well, you know, on second view of it, I should have done things differently.
Good job not going with upon further review there, Armando. Go ahead. Sorry.
Thank you. I thought about it and then decided against it. But thank you. Thank you for that. So he said, I could have done things differently. Mm-hmm. I love police. I don't believe in defund the police. I'm not going to kneel. Apparently someone came to him and said, let's do a rally / anti-police demonstration in the community. And he said, no. So those things, you know, that is the weight that you have to balance out in this whole episode.
How much, if at all, I guess we'll decide after the game. That's how we usually do it. Were they distracted by it? Was it bothering them? Was their entire focus on getting ready for a game? In your opinion at this point, is it damaging to their preparation?
Wow. So I'm not sure that you can say it was damaging to them on last Sunday, although they started very slow and really were behind. They trailed until 2 minutes left in the third quarter. So if you want to chalk that up to the pregame, you know, craziness, then be my guest. How it affects this week, look, let's face it. Both of these teams all week have not practiced. They've walked through. They've kind of, met a lot. It's not nobody's been in pads or anything like that. So how has it affected their preparation? I think that's a question that only can be answered within the locker room. And I'm not there.
We've talked with you many times about Tua. And, in my opinion, rightly, you've expressed skepticism. You know, he's just got other quarterbacks are on a higher level. Last year led the league in passing yards, but kind of the late season flame out. And this year, the talking point stuff was that he'd lost weight. And I wonder if you think, something's different with that, wanting to see the Dolphins, fans want to see him be able to execute more off script, as they say. Does this change, if it's significant enough, in your opinion, afford him, better odds as far as that goes?
I don't think it's going to be a big deal one way or the other because he is lighter. He is more willing to scramble now, and we saw it on Sunday. He's just more willing to move around. But if you're expecting anything like what the Buffalo Bills see at quarterback, you'll be sadly disappointed because it's not that. Okay, that's not what Tua Tagovailoa does. His game is quick read and precise pass, and try to be as accurate as possible because that's maybe your only superpower. And so that's how they play the game. What was interesting to me really was the fact that the Jaguars, they obviously did their homework. And so for a lot of that game, they took away the first read. Mm-hmm. And they forced Tua to, now you got to read the whole field, my brother. And oftentimes that frustrated him. And oftentimes it caused him to, bonk. And guess what? He still threw for 338 yards because why? Because Tyreek Hill averaged 18 and a half yards a catch, including an 80-yarder. And Jaylen Waddle, who doesn't get enough credit, had 109 yards, averaging 21.8 yards a catch, including a 63-yarder. So sometimes the first read cannot be taken away, and it's over your head. But when you can take it away consistently, it frustrates them.
Waddle, by the way, this is going to be a little bit of a cheap shot. I really like Jaden Waddle, but he apparently, Armando, did Sunday again fulfill his contractual obligation to go to the blue tent and then go back in the game. Right?
Yes, he did. That was a moment, and he would say to you, I was forced to do that.
Okay.
And he was. The
head injury, right, yeah.
Yeah, the independent observer forced him to do that.
I got the note. I didn't know it was a head injury. I got the notification, Waddle is out. As a fantasy player, you just sort of like, well, that was the story of his year. Several games last year, he was on and off the field. The great player, and they have one of the best setups in the NFL with the two receivers. Here, just to get your thought on the Bills, Armando, of course, pretty major turnover at the wide receiver position. The Bills on Sunday did what they kind of were saying they would do and what I think most expected, which is to spread the ball around, but no real, alpha, so to speak, on this team, at least that's sort of emerged yet. Will it work?
No.
It will not work.
No. I'm sorry. In the NBA a couple of years ago, maybe more, they decided that it's good to have not one star, not two stars, but maybe three stars on your club. So if you want to win an NBA title. In the NFL, I think teams are long past the idea of we can't just get by with one really awesome receiver. We probably need two, and it would be great if we have three. And the Bills last year had one really outstanding slash great receiver the last few years. This year, they're going to go with solid, good, okay, unproven, and that's fine against the Arizona Cardinals, maybe, and that's fine against the lesser teams. That's not going to be fine in January. That's not going to be fine in late December, and that doesn't get you to February.
Well, we'll see how it all comes together as the season unfolds. Maybe one of these dudes will emerge as that person. Somebody's going to lead them in receptions. Whether they become a number one guy remains to be seen. That said, Armando, how much of a read do you have at this point on Miami's defense? They're going to be defending this grab bag of guys here that you just described the way you did. What new coordinator? Like, what kind of feel do you have, if any, for Miami's defense at this point?
The good news for the Bills is the Miami defense is like, ugh. I mean, they lost Christian Wilkins, right? Jalen Ramsey is relatively healthy, and he is a stud. There is no question about that. But Jalen Phillips is coming along. You know that Jalen Phillips came out of the University of Miami at the same time as Greg Rousseau, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those two guys were just monsters when they came out. And, you know, Jalen Phillips last year was out most of the year with an Achilles. He had a sack his first game back. And so they're hoping that he is that guy. But, you know, other than him, they don't have, you know, Bradley Chubb anymore because he's on the PUP. And so they need someone to step up, to step forward with big plays. And, you know, last week that was Phillips with a sack. That was Ramsey on a big fourth down. But other than that, they are not exact. I would say to you, they're not as good as last year or won't be.
Greg Rousseau was on this show a couple of weeks ago. Naturally, AFC Defensive Player of the Week, week one. That, therefore, Jalen Phillips is not welcome on this show. We do not want to extend that correlation, you know, beyond what's occurred already. Armando, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy week two.
I appreciate it. I'm going to go now scour my refrigerator to see if there are pickles in there. And if there are, I'm throwing them out.
What a protest.
Wow, bam. Bye, Armando. Wow. Come on, though. Like, you take the pickle out of the jar. You know, it's all wet. You take a bite, and there's, you know, liquid that squirts to the floor. So, I mean, you're going to go to the sink. What is he talking about? Wrapping it in ham or just putting it on? Well, just, you got to do something.
Jar out of the fridge. Close the fridge. Kitchen counter. Sink. Something of that. And I'm fine.
You're going to stand at the sink.
I'm not going to make. How long does it take to eat a pickle?
A minute. Right, not even a minute.
Talking about a full dill, it's three bites tops, like a big.
I'm talking
dill.
A refrigerated spear.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm talking about. Three bites.
Three
right.
bites tops. Yeah.
Just stand there at the sink.
Yeah.
Seems weird. 803-0550 is the number. Bills Dolphins.
Why do I have a feeling Travis Yost eats a pickle with a fork and a knife?
You know. That's another move. You need the plate.
We haven't talked. We'll be hockey. Reconnecting soon when hockey fires up. He eats popcorn with a fork.
Okay. Well, this look. Don't. Don't.
I swear
put
to
me
you.
Into
I've,
that
seen,
camp.
I've seen footage. He's shared pictures on social media.
Don't dump that on me. How Travis Yost eats popcorn has nothing to do with whether I would stand at a sink to eat a pickle. Let's just get that straightened out right now before it starts to catch fire. On X. Speaking of Travis, no, we don't have Travis on today. We will have Paul Hamilton on later. The Sabres Prospect Challenge starts in 2 days. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, how do you feel about this game tomorrow night and how the Bills season has begun? Lines open here on WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.